The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 4 podcast.
And we have another hour to go, and everybody I know is eager to flip the channel in an hour and watch Alabama hope to get to the finals of the Women's World Series. And we are heading out there right now. Our friend Alyssa Lang has been covering it all. And unfortunately, Alyssa, I've been watching the Oklahoma game, as you obviously are. It looks like the weather's pretty good, which has not been the case. Good afternoon, and set the scene for us.
Yeah, thanks, Paul. Just don't jinx the weather, because we have been struggling with that for the last couple of days. But today has been beautiful, as you said, so far. And it looks like Oklahoma is going to end up getting this win over JMU in the first, if necessary, semifinal of this Monday. Of course, the schedule was pushed back a little bit, so we will see Florida State and Alabama play in about an hour or so here in Oklahoma City. Maddie Shipman has been here with me all week throughout the SEC tournament, throughout this entire tournament in the postseason. And this is an Alabama team that has been so dominant, especially when you look at the postseason. I think Tide fans were a little surprised that yesterday went the way that it did and them falling to the Florida State Seminoles, but one of the bigger stories of that game was the fact that head coach Patrick Murphy started Lexi Kilfoyle, which we talked a lot going into this game, Maddie, about it not having been that much of a surprise. Florida State had played really late the night before. You think you throw Kilfoyle, but they ended up kind of needing that little bit of momentum that we expect them to get with Fouts tonight.
I absolutely think that they're going to be a completely different team out there tonight, and I really wasn't surprised that we saw Lexi Kilfoyle out there in the circle. She's somebody that has battled some injuries throughout the regular season, but she had a really good outing against Alabama State in their regional, and then had another really good outing against Kentucky in the super regional. So when you're in the winner's bracket, you have the opportunities to put some other pitchers out there in the circle, and I think that's exactly what Coach Patrick Murphy did.
We talk about how much of a grind this tournament is, and with the schedule getting moved back a little bit, Florida State and Alabama both got an extra night of rest. We saw JMU come out literally with a bang, first pitch home run against Oklahoma. What do you expect from a rest standpoint for both of these schools?
Well, I think it's going to make a huge difference, because you remember that Florida State was one of the teams that was playing late into the morning to get that win, but it didn't really seem to affect them at all. I think there's something to be said for momentum, getting it on your side, getting into that rhythm, but I know that Florida State team is definitely rested up. They've got a really good pitching staff in the circle between Catherine Sandercock and Kalen Arnold, so you know that all of their pitchers are going to be ready. When it comes to Florida State, that team relies on putting the ball on the ground, forcing defenses to make plays, so that's going to be their game plan going up against Montana Fouts, knowing that she throws with such high velocity, trying to see if they can put pressure on Alabama's defense and see if they'll make mistakes.
Paul, one of the things we talked about last night was Alabama's hitting. You know, Lexi Kilfoyle didn't have a bad outing yesterday. They just really weren't able to get the bats going. So, you know, we talked last night on SEC Now about the Bailey Hemphills, the Kaylee Towles of this roster, really having to get the bats a little bit hotter tonight and make some of those adjustments offensively.
Alyssa, and Maddie, as both of you know, the audience for women's softball just starts to just build exponentially this time of the year. So a lot of people have heard the name Montana Fouts, but if both of you could talk about her celebrity right now, because not only are people inside this world talking about her, but people everywhere are talking about her right now.
And rightfully so. I mean, not only is she an absolute pleasure to talk to off the field, you look at the way that she approaches every single game, and we always comment about just the intensity that's all over her face, something that her catcher, Bailey Hemphill, talks about a lot. She rarely has to psych Montana up because she's already always locked in.
Well, and I think what's so impressive, when you look at her season as a whole, a lot of pitchers would be satisfied with just being able to throw 70, 71 miles per hour on a consistent basis. But every single time she goes out there to throw, she goes back and watches the film and tries to figure out how can she get better. So not only was she good at the beginning of the season, but she has been throwing lights out here in the postseason, specifically here at the World Series. And that's what really makes her special, is that she is never satisfied. So she's throwing with high velocity. She's got great spin, great movement on her ball. And that's why you're seeing some of the best offenses in the country really struggle against her.
You just hit the nail on the head, because even in the SEC tournament, I think she broke or came close to a tournament record for strikeouts. workouts. And Paul, in the post-game interview, she was like, yeah, I was a little bit concerned about my velo tonight. And we were like, oh my gosh, you are pitching lights out. Same thing with the perfect game on Friday night. She immediately hit the post-game interview and was like, yeah, saw a couple things that I could do better in a perfect game. Well, it describes her.
I think the work goes all the way back to the offseason as well. Talking to Coach Patrick Murphy, he said that on one of their off days, he saw her walking outside of the weight room. And so he texted her to say, hey, what's up? Is everything okay? And she said, yeah, I'm taking it upon myself to meet with the strength coach because I want to make sure that I'm able to throw 70 miles per hour, not just in February, but she wanted to be able to do it innings 1 through 7 here in the postseason. And we're seeing exactly that.
You could tell she was a little bit stressed last night. She was chewing on the cup in the dugout. And we were like, yeah, Montana's itching to get in that game. But Paul, I will say, for anyone watching who has not watched Alabama softball yet this season, you have to keep an eye on the broadcast for Montana Fouts' father in the stands, because he is one of the most exciting non-softball athletes that we have seen in the postseason. He's always getting fired up to watch Montana throw.
Guys, thank you so much. It is a little over an hour away, and I think everyone will be watching. We really appreciate it, Elizabeth and Maddie. And we will continue right here. There's so much else going on. We mentioned that you can keep up with our two friends out there after the game all week long as the Women's World Series goes on SEC Now today through Wednesday, and probably even perhaps longer now that has been delayed. Let's one more thing before we get back to your calls, and we've talked about it a lot, but I realize new audience shows up every few minutes. Nick Saban has agreed to an extension until through the 2028 season, when he will turn 77. Saban seemed to indicate in a statement today that would be it for him, although don't hold him to it. He'll be a young 77. Let's get back to the calls right now. And Mr. Padge in Tuscaloosa, good afternoon to you.
Hey, Paul, how you doing? This is old girl communications buddy from Birmingham.
Oh, it is great to have you back.
Thank you. Appreciate it. I've heard you say James Spann's name, and that's amazing. That's one of the few people I was going to mention of celebrity that I've been around and known, that between you and him and Nick Saban, you haven't changed at all since I've known you.
When we're talking about James Spann, everybody in Alabama knows him. He's the preeminent meteorologist and has been that way since the day he got out of the university. He's someone that I don't know anyone in the media in that state that's more respected than him.
There is not. There's not anyone. I've known him since he was at WTBC Radio in Tuscaloosa. So, I mean, I've known him forever. So, Coach Saban, I was going to say, there's an inner circle built around Coach Saban. You know, that's in my second life after communications with Alabama. I've been fortunate enough to be in that inner circle, and there is that's somewhat of a, you become part of the process, and I've seen him since he's the beginning. I've been here the very beginning with him. He hasn't changed at all, except that he's gotten more lenient towards things than he was in the beginning. He was pretty set in his ways the first few years, then he kind of let things change. We changed the way we did some things in where they ate, and that was kind of, I just couldn't believe it. The one thing that finally shows that he really has come of age is he finally got rid of that stupid old whiteboard that he had me put up at the edge of the, I couldn't believe he had me put that thing up year after year after year with the schedules on it, when they have laminated schedules. But he finally said, okay, let's get rid of that. I couldn't believe it. But
let me ask you this, and I certainly respect your relationship. But for those who don't know him, and that would include almost everyone watching and listening, what can you tell us that maybe we would be a little bit surprised by? I mean, we know how process-oriented he is, but what's he like to be around?
He is pretty much businessman all the way. I got to know him at the very beginning. I first made friends with him when he first went over there to speak the first time at the conference center, and they did not tell him that afterwards he was going to give autographs. And that was not the thing to do. And so he asked me to set up something for him, And I did, and I got people in and out real quick, and we became friends after that. Friends in that he knew to depend on me when he was over there. But he's very quick with, you don't waste time with him. The only way you can melt him, and I didn't say this, but if you ever want to get on his good side and get to really talk to him a little bit, ask him about his grandchildren.
I bet.
That changes his whole complexion. I mean, I don't care what you're talking about, that changes the way he thinks. But, you know, over the years, I've gotten where it's gotten less and less I'm able to talk to him. He comes in with a cell phone, and each year Cedric's behind him or in front of him, usually. And, you know, he's all business. I'll go in and ask him, and he will let me know if there's something he doesn't like. Trust me. I get the pointed finger. I know that means something's not right. So, but he's really a very pleasant person, believe it or not. But there is a inner circle that's built around him, and that's why you don't hear other coaches talk about, when we were at Alabama, I did this or I did that or we did. They don't say that. But nobody knows what the entire process is but him. I'm part of the process, but I don't know what the whole rest of it is. So when I was there, that's the way you have to know that you're part of the process, you're part of the inner circle, you do your job and you'll be fine. But there's the only person that knows all the jobs is him. And that's the way it kind of works. And I told you probably more than anybody else has ever told you, but that's the way it works. And I know that the one time, the two people that I trust the most that has been around the longest with Cedric, who that's the person everybody says, who's that guy following coach sure. around? That's Cedric. And you know him. I know you do. And Jeff Allen, who is the team physician. And when I was standing outside one time with him after the latest change, I think, in coaches, and I had to make sure who's supposed to come in and who's not. I said, okay, guys, are we going to be all right this year? And both of them turned around same time and looked and pointed right at Coach Saban and said, as long as that man's here, we don't have to worry about anything. So that's the way they feel about it, and that's the way it seems to have worked, and they don't seem to miss a beat. But I know who you were talking about also when you said when you said you need to stop. So I'm not going to say anymore.
Well, yeah, a friend of Coach Saban's hit me up not after I said that. He said, please don't mention that guy's name. It will be the end of it.
No, it would. Don't do it. I know it's not easy to say, but
I'm glad you said that because, you know, I mean, everyone, I mean, the thing that's always struck me about Nick Saban is that whenever he talks to someone, there's a message behind it. He doesn't. He you know, a lot of us just, no. You know, we like to just kind of shoot the breeze. He's not a shooter. You may think he's shooting the breeze, but he's got there's a method to the madness.
There certainly is. He doesn't waste much time. He's pretty much got everything regimented. So, you know, that's what I was going to say about him. There's one other thing I want to say about the NIL thing that I was wondering about.
Sure.
Since we're talking about that. We as employees of the university, we are not allowed to sell our tickets for more than what we pay for them under state ethics laws. I don't know if you knew that or not, but that's one of the things that you cannot do. And they would, trust me, they would find you and trace you down if you do it. And so I'm wondering, what does that mean for a player? Are they considered, or they will be considered employees that are getting paid? Is that going to be under the state ethics law?
Yeah.
I wonder how that's going to work out.
There has to be an exemption there somehow. You're right. It's a good question.
Somehow.
And I don't know because we haven't seen how it falls. But, hey, listen, I can't thank you enough for sharing the information with us. We're up against a break, so we will talk to you again very, very soon. We are taking to a break and more of your phone calls. So we still have 45 minutes to go. And you can give us a ring at 855-242-7285.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5hourenergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5hourenergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/paul. That's hims.com/paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
And we welcome you back here as we work our way through the afternoon. And Mitch is up next. Hello, Mitch.
Hello, Paul.
How are you? Good afternoon.
I'm good. I'm doing well. I hear you invited me to meet you in Columbia.
Well, we were trying to find... I don't know how far that is from you.
It's about as far as you are from me.
Okay, well, we can...
Maybe a little further. You're about an hour and 20 minutes. So that's about an hour and 40. You know, Columbia is where the children's home I lived at is.
Well, we were just talking about someplace that I may be this fall, and but once things settle down, we'll have a pretty good handle on the schedule. How about that?
Mm-hmm. And you were pretending like you didn't know the upstate. All you got to do is go straight up 85, and you go through every major city in the upstate.
So the upstate is where you are. Is that correct?
Yes. You come up 85.
Okay.
You go through Gaffney, then you hit Spartanburg, then you hit Greenville, then you hit Anderson, then you hit Clemson.
Now I have I've driven to Clemson a couple of times, so I know that way. I'm trying to remember. So from Atlanta to Charlotte, where do I go through you?
Yes.
Okay.
We're on 85 runs right through us.
Got it. Well, I know where you are then.
Uh-huh. I wanted to address one of your callers, if you don't mind. And I want to do it politely.
Sure.
There's a longtime caller of yours. I think he's in your top 20 of all-time callers. And I think he has a problem sometimes when I call in. And I want him to know, and I think you know who I'm talking about. And once I describe him, he'll know who I'm talking about. And I am jealous of you. I don't just call to be having fun. I call to try to get to know the person you've gotten to know over the past 20 years. So please don't take anything I say as trying to be hateful, hurtful, or anything. I wish I was in your shoes. You've got to meet Paul. I haven't. Probably never will, but that's okay. Spirits are spirits, so we got to know each other through spirit. But anyway, I just wanted to let this person know that I'm not trying to supplant anybody on this show.
Well, I never thought you were. And Mitch, let me. I'm not going to give you the... Imitation is the most sincere form of flattery line. It's been used a million times in history, but when you reach a point or a position on this program, when everybody starts coming after you, that is a successful spot that you've landed at.
You are not going to believe who's trying to call me right now.
Who's that?
Matt.
Well, go ahead and talk to him. He needs you more than
he called me all weekend long.
I wonder what that's. So my bigger question is, what does that sound on your phone?
You've seen the commercial for one of these insurance companies where the silver hood ornament sings.
Right.
Opportunities by the Pet Shop Boys.
Oh, sure. Okay. The Pet Shop Boys.
I told you I'm a child of the 80s.
Man, the Pet Shop Boys. I remember that. What was their big hit in the late 70s?
Not late 70s, in the 80s.
No. I think it was, maybe it was the 80s.
West End Girl.
Yeah, West End Girl, yeah.
That was in the 80s.
Don't laugh, but I have that on my phone, West End Girls.
I do too.
Well.
And by the way, there were Mannings in the upstate this weekend, but it wasn't the right one.
Really?
You know they were. I can't say who and why he was up here.
Oh, okay. I know who he was. The famous grandfather.
Not the grandfather.
No.
Well, the grandfather might have came with him.
Well, no, we're talking about his famous. This guy's got famous uncles and grandfather. Would that be fair?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, I know who you're talking about.
Yeah, but he's the wrong one. You're supposed to have sent Peyton up here.
Oh, I hear you.
You didn't send Peyton. That hurts my feelings.
Well, you're just going to have to get over that Pet Shop Boys. You're right. It was early 80s. I got my 70s and 80s confused.
But anyway, I just wanted that person that sometimes makes comments about my comments to know. I'm jealous of it.
Well, you take, hey, Mitch, I want you to call Matt back, okay? Let's check in with Craig in Oregon. Craig, go right ahead.
Hi, how are you today, Paul?
We're great. Thank you for calling.
Good. I was wondering, so in your opinion, who are you most confident you'll see in Atlanta this year between, Georgia and Alabama?
I would probably say I'm more confident that Georgia will be there than Alabama.
Okay. So see if we can follow me on this one.
Okay.
Because I agree with you. I think Matt has a wonderful year this year. I think that Georgia sees Matt's Aggies in Atlanta because the Aggies beat Alabama this year. Coach O has already declared Bryant Denny his stadium.
Oh, yeah. I haven't forgotten that.
And I learned from JK today that Miami's even going to beat them. So, I mean, a three-loss Alabama team, we don't even have to worry about
that. And by the way, Craig, I don't know if you heard the guy from Auburn, but Auburn's going to be back. Auburn's back.
Oh, man. Man, they are good. They are done for. All I can say is go Dogs.
Well, Craig, and by the way, before anybody misinterprets either one of us talking about Alabama, Alabama's got a thin line this year, a margin for error. And I still think that game against A&M is treacherous. I'm not predicting games in early June. I know JK thinks Miami's going to win. I don't really know too many Gators who think the Gators are going to beat them. Do you?
No. Honestly, out of all of those, the only one that I do honestly have a little bit of something for there would be Matt and Aggieland.
Yeah.
I think the Aggies might have a little something for Alabama this year, and I hope they do.
Well, that would be pretty. I mean, what would be fascinating is the Jimbo versus Kirby, because those are the chosen ones of the Saban family.
You know, as much as I'd love to see Kirby get a win against Saban, we can do that later. Let's go ahead and pit Kirby against Jimbo. I think that'd be a good one too.
Well, you know what happens then, Craig? If that happens, then you know we forget Saban immediately, and Kirby versus Jimbo, the new feud, the new Urban Saban battle of the which we had in 08, 09, and 10. I will tell you this story, and this is not a secret because I've talked about it before, but I have a friend who sat in the box with Kirby and not with Kirby, but with Jimbo Fisher at the national championship game between Alabama and Georgia. And somebody asked Jimbo who he was rooting for, and he said Saban, of course. He said, I don't want Kirby to win a national championship. I want to be the only guy other than Saban who has won. Now, that was in 2017, of course.
That sounds like Jimbo Fisher.
Oh, yeah. I mean, hey, thanks for the call. Apparently, you bet. Great call. My guess is Jimbo had a long evening that night in Atlanta until the final play. We are heading to a break. Appreciate you being a part of the show. We are back for 30 more minutes. Stick around.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
We are back, and we got 25 minutes to go, and James is up next. Hello, James.
Hello.
Hey, good afternoon.
Oh, hello. This is James Patterson. How you doing?
James, it's a pleasure. Thank you for calling.
Yeah, I'm from Hartwell, Georgia. How you doing?
I am doing. Where is that?
That's right on the South Carolina line. I'm 27 miles from Clemson University and 42 miles from Athens, Georgia.
I know where you are. That's a good spot.
Yeah, I'm a Georgia Bulldog fan. And I seen where Nick Saban got his distinction today.
Yeah, and, he needed that. He was down on his luck.
Well, I don't think he was down on his luck. I think he decided to do it because the man's got all the money in the world. You know what I'm saying? So why should he carry on? I think he's doing it to be the best of all times. And he probably can do that at Alabama. What do you think about that?
James, I think he's already the best of all time. I'm not sure that's really much of a debate any longer.
Well, it's, you know, the thing about it is he wants to secure his position.
Well, but James, let me make this argument to you. If he retired today, he would retire, you know, having won three out of the last six. He's won seven national championships. The only way that I think he could even put a dent in his legacy, if he coached and his last 5 years were not very good. Right now, what else does he have to prove?
Well, there's nothing he's got to prove. That's why I'm saying, why carry on when you're 70 years old?
Well, let me ask you, James. I will tell you.
He's in good health and all that. Well, what else has he got to prove?
Well, you're right, but
unless he wants to make it impossible to beat his record ever.
Well, I think
you know
it
what
already.
Saying? That's what I'm getting at.
Okay, let me answer it. I'll try to answer it because I can't think like him. Because I agree, most people reach a certain age, but not everyone. I mean, the president of the United States is 78. He didn't have to do that, but he wanted to because he felt like he could win. The previous president was 74. We're talking about the most.
All our presidents have been old.
Well, not all. Well, Obama was pretty young.
Not all of them. JFK wasn't old, but
he was 42. Yeah, when he who was elected.
Yeah, but. And we had some young presidents, but what I'm getting at is the fact of the matter is, Bear Bryant had the record. He broke the record. And now he's trying to make it impossible for anybody to break his record.
Are you retired or are you still working?
No, I'm retired.
Okay. I'm curious about this, and maybe Nick Saban is too. At what age did you retire, and have you enjoyed retirement?
No, I have not. I've had health issues all my life. I've been dealing with some stuff.
Well, I didn't. I didn't mean to get in. My only point.
I know. Listen, I know for a fact that Nick Saban, for his age, my dad just passed away a year ago.
Okay.
He was 74 years old. All right. Nick's 70 years old, and he's still in good shape, and he still looks as good as he did 5-6 years ago.
He does.
That's not what I'm getting at.
Well, James, would you allow me to say one? Let me say one thing here, and I appreciate you calling. But I have talked to many coaches who retired, maybe under more questionable circumstances, and every time they all tell me the same thing. They don't know what to do with themselves because they are so used to all that being around them. And Saban has said this. He's not shy about it. He has said repeatedly that this is all he's ever done. He's been associated with the team. I think he's concerned that if he quit today, he wouldn't really know what to do. Now, that sounds silly because if he quit today, he could make millions of dollars doing whatever he wanted to do and probably make even more money in private enterprise. But this is what he loves doing, and this is why I think he wants to keep doing it. All of us have been at that moment, not all of us, some of us, when you give up something that you truly love and you say, well, I don't need that anymore, we find out often that we do. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Let's continue with Mike, who is in Los Angeles. Hello, Mike. Thanks. Good afternoon.
Afternoon, Paul. Afternoon.
Great.
I wanted to know, clearly Jeremy Pruitt in the offense, it never clicked. Didn't matter who was under center. And so we watched Tennessee lose a lot of games. The defense would just get tired. They would eventually fold. My question is, do you think it'll be more fun watching Heupel with hopefully a more potent offense? Is that a more palatable way to lose, at least putting points on the board?
Mike, it's already more fun because Jeremy Pruitt, even though he had a good reputation as a coach and as an evaluator, he never really, I never felt like he made the job fun. I think Heupel is selling hope. He's selling hope that he's going to bring in an exciting offense. And I think the offense will be very exciting. I frankly think that this team, because the schedule is not that challenging, can win 6 games, maybe more, and get to a bowl game, which would be pretty cool.
Yeah, that's pretty much. I mean, Vegas last year had the over-under at 5.5, and clearly we woefully underperformed. But this year I think Vegas has it at around 6 games, the over-under. And I don't know, there's just more hope. And seems like the locker room from, I don't have insiders like you have insiders, but from what little peek I have, the locker room, the players, it seems to be just a little bit more excitement and a little better team as far as the chemistry right now than what was happening before, even with the NCAA stuff and whatever, the scholarships and the bowl ban, whatever's going to happen. It just, I don't know, there's hope for something different, which I guess means maybe something better if we get lucky.
I think that's true, and you're right. There are many, many problems down the road for Tennessee, but we are officially out of time for this program. We appreciate all of you for being a part of it. Some really interesting guests today. We'll see you right here tomorrow.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.